Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, 5th of May, 2026, Zechariah.
All right, before we get started, I have a few announcements. First of all, we still have the sign-up sheets for VBS team member sign-up. Vacation Bible School will be June 8th to 12th from 9 to noon, and it takes a team for that Vacation Bible School to operate beautifully and smoothly and fantastically. So there's still some of those out there for those who would like to sign up for be a member of the team on Vacation Bible School. And again, please fill out and return to Deb ASAP. Thank you very much. And we have invitations printed out that you can take as many as you want. Take them all. We'll print some more. Invitations to give to family, friends, people in your neighborhood, Walmart, Kohl's, your favorite restaurant, whatever. Take as many as you want. Give these out as invitations to come to Vacation Bible School. So invitations to come to Vacation Bible School. And then there will be a short meeting of the evangelism team after class tomorrow night in the big classroom. And this is regarding Boulder City and the Memorial Day program out at Boulder City. That's tomorrow night in the big classroom after class. All right? Okay, well, we'll pray and that's it. You can go home. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Zechariah Chapter 6. Zechariah chapter 6. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for one more day of freedom in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, we know that the ruler of planet Earth right now is a fallen angel, Satan. And he still thinks he's going to win the angelic conflict. And he has lots of strategies to win the angelic conflict. But the biggest one and the most evil of all is anti-Semitism. And it's not just in the Middle East or certain countries in Arab countries. It's all around planet Earth. All throughout Europe. In Australia, in America, in the West. And in the May-June issue of Israel, My Glory, you can see how Satan has affected the thinking of people all over planet Earth with one objective: destroy every Jew from the face of the earth. This is in the May-June, Israel, My Glory. It's entitled, Fighting Lies About Israel. Like many Western countries, Australia is suffering from mainstream media bias and misinformation about Israel and the Jewish people. One of the first rallies supporting the Palestinian cause after Hamas's 7 October 2023 terror attack took place on the steps of the Sydney Opera House as crowds assembled and chanted, "Death to the Jews! Death to the Jews!" Notoriously, Australia's government was one of the few that chose to recognize officially a Palestinian state in 2025. And while the media coverage surrounding the announcement billed it as a major positive step, Arab media outlets still reproached the Australian public for not being anti-Israel enough. Australian churches have not been immune to the flood of misinformation about Israel, and simultaneously, replacement theology. That is another satanic attack. Replacement theology. The belief that the church has replaced Israel in God's plans, promises, and affections, that God no longer has a plan for Israel. That's replacement theology. That's all throughout fundamentalism today. Only a minority of churches support Israel or believe God's promises to the Jewish people are important. As a result, anti-Semitism is on the rise in Australia, and fewer believers there understand biblical truth about God's chosen people. Our team, Friends of Israel, are committed to standing with Israel in the face of opposition and sharing biblical truth about Israel and the Jewish people and the Messiah, Jesus Christ, with Christians. During last year's conferences, our teams faced unexpected resistance. At one church which had been planning for months to host one of our Friends of Israel conferences, a group of people banded together in the week preceding the event and pressured the church leadership to cancel it. And they did. They didn't want Friends of Israel's conference to take place at their church because they supported the Palestinian cause and they hated Israel. So the church's leadership pulled their advocacy and refused to host our conference. Our Australian conference team, led by our representative Simon Lowry, began to pray and work tirelessly to find a new venue. God provided by blessing the conference at a new site with wonderful attendance and valuable biblical teaching for all who came. Please pray with us for Australian churches as we invite more believers to trust God's word and to love His people. All right, Zechariah. Well, we have studied in Zechariah 1:7 through chapter 6, verse 8, the 8 visions that God gave to Zechariah. And now that brought us to Zechariah chapter 6, verses 9 to 15, where we have the crowning of Joshua, the high priest. And we have exegeted verses 9 through 11. Verse 9 says, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, Zechariah, saying." And this is very important because this is the principle of dual fulfillment. In dual fulfillment, you have a near fulfillment and a far fulfillment. In our passage, the near fulfillment is a message for the people of Zechariah's day, the coronation of Joshua the high priest. The far fulfillment is a message for people living at the end of the tribulation period, the coronation of the Lord Jesus Christ after His second advent. So it's very important when you're studying the Old Testament scriptures and the prophecy, quite often there is a near fulfillment and a far fulfillment. The near fulfillment occurred in 518 B.C., the coronation of Joshua the high priest. The far fulfillment will occur at the second advent, the coronation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, having returned and established His kingdom, the millennial kingdom on earth, where He will rule on the throne of David, as the son of David from Jerusalem, and rule planet earth 1,000 years, the millennial kingdom. Then the word of the Lord came to me, Zechariah, saying. And then in verse 10, we have 3 musketeers who came back from Babylon. They listened to the warning from Zechariah in Zechariah 2, verses 6 and 7. The names of these 3 musketeers are Heldai, Tobijah, and Jediah. They got out of Babylon. They listened to Zechariah in chapter 2. And they came to Jerusalem and they brought a lot of money with them. They were very successful in Babylon. But God and the Word of God was more important than money. So they came to Jerusalem. They provided the fund for the crowning of Joshua the high priest and the rebuilding of the temple. So Zechariah received this gift from the exiles. 3 exiles. Exile number 1, well, we in English pronounce it Heldai. In the Hebrew, it's actually Heldai. And look at these people still sitting in the front row here when I'm going to pronounce Heldai. It comes from the verb chalev, to be smooth or to glide. That's the verb. The noun Heldai means a transitory life, a temporary life, a fleeting life, so we might call him Mr. Fleeting Pleasures of Life. That was Heldai. This is putting the spotlight on the details of life. Now, as long as God and his word are number one in priority, you can have the details of life and thoroughly enjoy the details of life. As long as God and his word are number one in priority, you can have the details of life and not be arrogant. As long as God and his word are the number one priority in your life, you can have pleasure and not be arrogant. As long as God and the Word of God is number one in your life, you can have money and not be arrogant. Now, Mr. Heldai, Mr. Fleeting Pleasures of Life, changed his name. When he got to Jerusalem, he changed his name to Helam. And Helam means the recipient of the Word of God. He came to Jerusalem to get the teaching of the Word of God from Zechariah, from the Levitical priests. He was coming for Bible doctrine. So he changed his name from Mr. Fleeting Pleasures of Life to Helam, the recipient of the Word of God. Exile number two was Tobiah, and Tobiah means pleasing to the Lord. He returned to Jerusalem because he was pleasing to the Lord. The believer who makes God and his word the number one priority of his life is pleasing to the Lord. Exile number three is Yediah, and Yediah means Jehovah knows him and Jehovah provides for him. The Lord knows him, and therefore the Lord provides for him. Jediah, life belongs to the Lord. So if the Lord says, get out of Babylon and get back to Jerusalem, then he says, let's light this candle and get up and go. And he did. Verse 10, receive the gift from the exiles, from Heldai, Tobijah, and Yediah, who have come from Babylon, and go the same day and enter the house of Josiah, the son of Zephaniah. Now, Josiah means Jehovah heals. It's a word for reconciliation. Josiah illustrates the removal of the barrier between God and man. And this illustrates the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, directed toward man. Josiah is a born-again believer. In Zechariah 6, verse 14, Josiah is given another name, Chen, and that is the Hebrew word for grace. Josiah is a spiritually mature believer, maximum grace orientation in his heart. Josiah is the son of Zephaniah, but this is not the prophet Zephaniah. This is a different person. This Zephaniah is not the human author of the book of Zephaniah. Now that brings us to the preparation of the crown, and that's verse 11, which says, and take the silver and gold and make a crown and set it on the head of Joshua the high priest, the son of Jehozadak. And the word for crown is literally, it's in the plural, and should be translated crowns. This is a double-ringed crown. One crown, double-ringed crown, symbolic of the priestly and kingly diadem the Messiah will wear at his coronation. Thus, Joshua's crowning was a type or a foreshadowing of the Messiah's crowning as both priest and king in the millennial kingdom. Heldai, Tobijah, and Yediah brought the silver and the gold from Babylon to make this very special crown. Joshua the high priest will wear this crown one time. One time. Then it will be placed in the temple as a memorial to the fact that the Messiah, Jesus Christ, is coming again, the second advent. So we have, and take the silver and gold and make a crown. And then we have, and set it upon the head of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. We have the conjunction vav, prefix to the cal perfect of the verb seem, plus the preposition bath, prefix to the noun rosh, plus the proper noun Yahashua, plus the noun bain, joined by a makef to the proper noun Yahatzadak, plus kohain, with the definite article, with the adjective gadol, with the definite article. The conjunction vav is a transitional vav, correctly translated and then we have the verb seem. S long I M. Now you see, can you see that little dot? When it's on this side, it's a seam. When the dot's over here, it's a sheen. Well, the dot's over here, it's a seam. Excuse me, theme, not S long I M, seam. So, one, seam literally means to put, it means to place, it means to set. To put, to place, to set. That's literally. Point two, this is setting the crown, Barosh Yahashua, setting the crown on the head of Joshua. Barosh on the head, Yahashua on Joshua. And set the crown on the head of Joshua. And point three, Joshua is HaKohen HaGadol, the high priest. Kohen, priest, with a definite article. HaGadol, the high priest. And then we have Ben Yahatzadak, and that Ben is son, Yahatzadak, the son of Jehozadak. So, corrected translation, and take the silver and the gold, and make a crown, and set it on the head of Joshua, the high priest, the son of Jehozadak. All right, well, let's take a look at Joshua. Yahashua. That's Y, Shava, H, long O, S, H, U, I, N, Yahashua. I left out a path act there. Yahashua. All right. One, Yahashua is the Hebrew word for Savior. Yahashua is the Hebrew word for Savior. Two, Jesus, Jesus, is the Greek equivalent of Joshua. Jesus, or Jesus, is the Greek equivalent of Joshua. Three, the high priest who is going to be crowned has the same name as the only Savior, our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. The high priest who is going to be crowned has the same name as the only Savior, our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. For the ceremonial crown was to be kept in the temple. The ceremonial crown was to be kept in the temple as a reminder of the Jewish delegation from Babylon. As a reminder of the Jewish delegation from Babylon that brought the gift to Jerusalem for the restoration of the temple and the formation of the crown. So the ceremonial crown was to be kept in the temple as a reminder of the Jewish delegation from Babylon that brought the gift to Jerusalem for the restoration of the temple. They brought a huge amount of money for the rebuilding of the temple and the building, the making of the crown. 5, it would also remind Israel of the teaching that one day in the future, Messiah will appear, second advent, and be crowned the King Priest of Israel. It would also remind Israel of the teaching that one day in the future, second advent, Messiah will appear and be crowned the King Priest of Israel. Now, in verse 12, abruptly, Zechariah is commanded to deliver a very special message to Joshua. A very special message to Joshua. And it's about a very special messianic name for Jesus Christ. Very special messianic name for Jesus Christ in the Old Testament scriptures. The branch. So now in verse 12, abruptly Zechariah is commanded to deliver a message to Joshua. Verse 12, and speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying. Notice you got speak, saying, speaketh, saying. It's the same verb four times in one verse here. And the King James put it down every single time. Right. This is the conjunction vav, prefix to the cow perfect of amer. That's the first time. Plus the preposition El with the third person singular masculine suffix, plus amer repeated the second time, plus the demonstrative adverb ko, plus the verb amer repeated a third time, plus the tetragrammaton, plus the plural sevaoth, plus the verb amer repeated a fourth time. There you go. Doesn't happen very often, but we got it here. The conjunction vav is a transitional vav and is correctly translated then. And then we have amarta elav lemor. Then say to him. Then say to him, him being Joshua. Then say to him. Then the demonstrative adverb ko. Thus, or loosen up, or pay attention. This is very, very important. And then we have the tetragrammaton Jehovah Tsevaoth, the Lord of the armies, the Lord Almighty says. So the corrected translation, then say to him, Joshua, This is what the Lord of the army, Jehovah Tsevaoth, the Lord Almighty says. And then we have, behold, the man whose name is the branch. This is so powerful in the Hebrew. Behold the man whose name is the branch. We have the demonstrative particle hene joined by a makef to the noun ish, plus the noun semak, plus the noun shame with the third person singular masculine suffix. All right. Well, to get everybody to get the attention, get the spotlight on, we start out with the demonstrative particle hene. H-I-N-N-E-H. Hene. Hene is a very, very powerful demonstrative particle. It's translated behold, but it ought to be translated behold. That's how it ought to be translated. Now you get the idea of what is being said. Behold. And hene is joined by a makef to the noun ish. Aleph, long I-S-H. Now, ish is the word man. Isha is the word woman. And here we have ish, man, and it's looking at the true humanity of the God-man, Jesus Christ, the branch. So hene is joined by a makef to the noun ish. Ish is the word for the man. Behold the man. Behold the man. The noun shame with the third person singular masculine suffix. Shame is the word name. Third person singular masculine suffix. Whose name is. So now we're going to find out the name, special name, whose name is Tzemach. That's T-S-E-M-A-C-H. Tzemach. And Semak could be translated a sprout, a growth, or a branch. Here, the branch. So the corrected translation, behold the man, and the man is the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is in hypostatic union, undiminished deity and true humanity in one person forever, which occurred on that very first Christmas, the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. He became true humanity. Behold the man, and what's his name? Whose name is the branch. Behold the man whose name is the branch. All right, one. The noun ish, man, puts the spotlight on the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. Very important, because that God-man, after that first Christmas, when the eternal Son of God took on true humanity, From that time, undiminished deity, true humanity in one person forever, and it's the God-man who will come back the second advent, at the second advent, and establish his kingdom on earth. He will be the God-man for all rest of eternity. Undiminished deity and true humanity forever and ever and ever. So, the noun ish, man, puts the spotlight on the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. Two, the eternal Son of God had to become true humanity to carry out the Father's incarnation plan of salvation, Operation Grace the Cross. The eternal Son of God had to become true humanity to carry out the Father's incarnation plan of salvation, Operation Grace the Cross. Three, it was the true humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ that went to the cross and solved the world problem of sin once and for all. Four, Israel is the tree, and the root of the tree is the Lord Jesus Christ. Israel is the tree, and the root of the tree is the Lord Jesus Christ. Five, the fifth cycle of discipline made the tree a stump. The fifth cycle of discipline made the tree a stump. Six. But Jesus Christ grows out of the stump and becomes the branch. But Jesus Christ grows out of the stump and he becomes the branch who will fulfill the unconditional covenants to Israel at the second advent. The branch! So Israel is the tree and the root of the tree is the Lord Jesus Christ. The fifth cycle of discipline made the tree a stump, but Jesus Christ grows out of the stump and becomes the branch who will fulfill the unconditional covenants to Israel, the second advent, the Abrahamic, Palestinian, Davidic, and new covenants. Seven. So, the branch is a very special messianic title for Christ as the Son of David. So the branch is a very special messianic title for Christ as the Son of David. All right. You got your Bible? Sure. Anybody not have a Bible? If you don't have a Bible, we'll give you one. Not to worry. All right. Turn over to Isaiah 4. Isaiah 4, verse 2. Isaiah 4, verse 2. And if you have a Ryrie Study Bible, and that's an excellent study Bible, by the way. I took several classes from Dr. Ryrie, while I was at Dallas Theological Seminary, he was excellent, excellent teacher. But here we have it says the millennial kingdom, Isaiah 4, 2 through 6. Isaiah 4, 2. In that day, the branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious. In what day? In that day, the millennial kingdom. The millennial kingdom following the second advent. In that day, the branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the land will be the pride and glory of the survivors, those rescued by Jesus Christ at the second advent in Israel. Now, turn over to Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23, starting at verse 5. The days are coming, that is the millennial kingdom following the second advent. The days are coming, declares the Lord, God the Father, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be delivered and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he, the branch, will be called: Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. And then turn over to Jeremiah 33. Jeremiah 33. Verse 15, start at verse 15. In those days, following the second advent, the millennial kingdom, in those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. The branch is the son of David. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be delivered and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called: Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. And then look at Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah 3. This was the vision of Joshua the high priest. Verse 8. Listen, O high priest Joshua, and your associates seated before you, who are men symbolic of things to come. I am going to bring my servant, the branch. Zechariah 3:8. My servant, the branch. And then, now that we got the crowning of Joshua, Zechariah 6:12. Then say to him, Joshua, this is what the Lord of the armies, the Lord Almighty, says: Behold, the man whose name is the branch. That's as far as we've gotten. Tzemach, the branch. And guess what the Tzemach is going to do? The Tzemach is going to Tzemach. There you go. But the noun is going to verb. Tzemach is going to Tzemach. It'll sound like this: Behold, the man whose name is the branch, and he will branch out from his place, and he will build the temple of the Lord. That's the millennial temple. All right. Now, in the rest of this passage, Zechariah 6:12 to 15, 7 prophecies are given concerning the Messianic branch. 7 prophecies are given concerning the Messianic branch. Prophecy number 1, Messiah, the branch, the Tzemach, will branch out. Tzemach. Tzemach is going to Tzemach. That's the first prophecy. Prophecy number 1, the branch will branch out. Zechariah 6, verse 12. And he shall grow up out of his place, the King James says. Boo, that was terrible. This is the cal imperfect of Tzemach, plus the conjunction vav prefix to mitoktav, mitoktav. All right, it's easy for you to say. 1, the Tzemach will Tzemach. No, let me give it to you. Here's the noun, first of all. That's the noun. Tzemach. There's a segol. T-S-E-M. Now, that's the noun. Here's the verb. T-S-A-M-A-C. That's the verb. The noun is Tzemach. The verb is Tzemach. So, point 1, the Tzemach, the branch, will Tzemach, branch out. And then we have Mithtoktav, which is men from his place, from his place. 2, he came at the first advent as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He came at the first advent as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. You need to be writing it down. Don't look at me. I'm about the last thing you want to look at. So he came at the first advent as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. Turn over to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, verse 2. We'll start at verse 2. He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. Root out of dry ground. This is the first advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is putting the spotlight on the first advent of Christ and his lowly background. So he grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty, first advent, or majesty to attract us to him. He had nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised. He was despised by his own people, despised by the Jews. He was hated. They did not believe he was the Messiah. They did not believe he was eternal Son of God. And they wanted to kill him. He was despised. That's the first advent, he was like a root out of dry ground. He was despised and rejected by men. He was a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. He had more suffering than we will ever understand or know about. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised. And we esteemed him not. first advent of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Surely, he took up and carried our sins and carried our sorrows and guilt. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord God the Father has laid on him, God the Son, the iniquity of us all. So at the first advent, this is the great, great passage. At the first advent, as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. So at the first advent, he came as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. Isaiah 53, 2 through 6. Very powerful. And half of that I repeat every communion service, because it is very, very, very important. 3. But at the second advent, this is the first advent, but at the second advent, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, will shoot upward and branch out. Samak. At the second advent, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, will shoot upward and branch out. The Tzemach will Tzemach. Branch out. As a strong, fast-growing plant elevated to great heights. So Jesus Christ at the second advent, the Messiah, will shoot up and branch out. The Tzemach will Tzemach as a strong, fast-growing plant elevated to great heights. 4. When Jesus Christ returns at the second advent, he will accomplish miraculous things that only the incomparable Christ can do. That's the second advent. When Jesus Christ returns at the second advent, he will accomplish miraculous things that only the incomparable Christ can do. We don't know who the author of Hebrews is, but the author of Hebrews got this. He nailed this. Hebrews 1, 1 to 3, the incomparable Christ. And then the preeminent Christ. 5, he will accomplish miraculous things that man has never been able to accomplish in all of human history. He will accomplish miraculous things that man has never been able to accomplish in all of human history. He will rule the entire world with absolute righteousness and perfect justice. He will rule the entire world with absolute righteousness and perfect justice. There will be world peace. Man will never train for war again for 1,000 years. That's never, ever happened in all of human history. World peace. The Prince of Peace comes back, and that is when the world will have world peace. In fact, there won't even be any military. No army. No Navy, no Air Force, no Marine Corps, no Coast Guard, none. No one will train for war, world peace for 1,000 years. And he will fulfill the four unconditional covenants to Israel. They will all be fulfilled. He made those promises, and they're unconditional. They don't depend on Israel's decisions they make. They depend on God's promises, his faithfulness, his holiness, his righteousness, his justice, not on Israel. And Israel has been making a lot of bad decisions, but they're going to realize in the near the end of the tribulation, in the great tribulation, that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And there are passages we're going to study. The people, when they realize that, they will cry and cry and cry because they realize that the one that they, that their people cried out, crucify him, crucify him, that he is the Messiah, the only Savior, the only Redeemer. And there's going to be a tremendous remnant who will place their faith in Jesus Christ. And they will be rescued by Jesus Christ and taken into the millennial kingdom. And they will enjoy those four unconditional covenants that God made for Israel. They will be fulfilled to all those who place their faith in Jesus Christ. That's prophecy number one. I've been looking forward to teaching this. I've been looking forward to this for a couple months now. So if I get my engine cranked up, I've got to realize I've been looking forward to this. Prophecy number two, Messiah the branch will build a millennial temple. He will build the temple of the Lord in the millennium, the millennial temple. That's prophecy number two. Zechariah 6:12, the King James says, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. That's in the millennium. A very special millennial temple. And people from all over planet Earth, Gentiles from nations all over the world, will come to Jerusalem and come to worship the Lord. And related to that millennial temple, they look forward. They even hang on to a hem of the robe of a Jew to make it there. And there will be Bible conferences. The Lord Jesus Christ will have Bible conferences. They want to go there for the Bible conferences. And as a part of the temple of the Lord. So, prophecy number two, the Messiah, the branch, will build the millennial temple of the Lord, Zechariah 6:12. And we'll start there next time. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.